In 2010, the Citizens United ruling from the Supreme Court allowed unlimited contributions from corporations and unions to political candidates, purportedly independent of their campaigns. In April of this year, the court's McCutcheon decision overturned aggregate limits on campaign donations by individuals to both national parties and federal candidate committees. Both decisions equated money with free speech. Many bills have been introduced in Congress to try to scale back the impact of big money in politics. One measure being proposed is a constitutional amendment introduced by Senator Tom Udall, Democrat of New Mexico, that would give Congress power to regulate the raising and spending of money in federal elections and provide state legislatures with similar authority over state elections, including setting limits on both the amount someone may contribute to candidates and the amount candidates may spend. A Judiciary Committee hearing on June 5th attracted media attention, as well as the participation of the Republican and Democratic leaders of the Senate. In what insiders call a highly unusual appearance, Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid testified for the bill, and Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell testified against it. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Marge Baker, Executive Vice President with the group People for the American Way. Here she explains that passage of the Udall bill would be a first step in a long process to reclaim American democracy for all people, not just the wealthy few.
Up until the radical decision in Citizens United, and then in a way it's even more radical decision in the McCutcheon case, the Supreme Court was interpreting the First Amendment in a way that folks might have disagreed with the fundamental proposition about money equaling speech, but they hadn't yet used that doctrine to totally dismantle the campaign finance system. What happened in Citizens United and McCutcheon is it's clear that this court is determined to dismantle the campaign finance system using its interpretation of the First Amendment. And what we think is that interpretation of the First Amendment is fundamentally wrong, and we need to restore the First Amendment to what it's intended to be there for all people, not just the privileged and the powerful. And I think what we have is a Supreme Court that has really run roughshod over the First Amendment, and what we need to do now with this amendment is restore the First Amendment to its intended purpose.
The Udall Amendment so far has no Republican co-sponsors, and it seems unlikely to garner any in the current Congress, so passage looks bleak.
As you may know, there are 16 states now that are on record, either through ballot initiative or votes of the state legislatures, in support of an amendment, basically calling on their congressional delegations to support amending the Constitution to overturn Citizens United and related cases. And in a number of those state legislatures, you have Republicans voting for this kind of resolution. I think there's more than 100. So at the state level, there is Republican support for this. And then the other important fact is that when these initiatives go to the polls in Colorado and Montana, the voters statewide voted on an initiative calling on their congressional delegation to support an amendment. And in cities across the country, including large cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, in all of those votes, they win by 75%. 75% or upwards of the people voting support a constitutional amendment. Well, when you get those numbers, that means that this is bipartisan. So at the grassroots level, at the citizen level, it's bipartisan. In state legislatures, you get Republican support. We haven't yet gotten there in the U.S. Congress, but I think we will. I think we will, because I think that people are demanding it.
Marge Baker, a constitutional amendment requires a vote by 2/3 of the members of both houses of Congress, then ratification by 3/4 of the state legislatures. As we know from the failed Equal Rights Amendment decades ago, this process is a long slog that doesn't always even end in victory. There's no other way to deal with the problem of money in politics?
Actually, there's not. I mean, it's ambitious and audacious, but when the Supreme Court has so distorted what the First Amendment is, then you have two choices. You amend the Constitution, or you change who sits on the Supreme Court and change the jurisprudence of the court. And those two aren't inconsistent. A campaign for a constitutional amendment based on this notion that the American people want representative government. They want to believe that this is a government of the people, that organizing around that to amend the Constitution to do that also lifts up the public discussion we need to have about whether the court got it right, so that when new justices are confirmed to the Supreme Court, it becomes part of the discussion, it becomes part of the issue. What view of the First Amendment do these justices hold? Do they also want to restore the First Amendment, as we would through a constitutional amendment. So the two are very important. They go hand in hand, and the ERA is a perfect example. I mean, I actually believe we will get to being able to pass this constitutional amendment. And even though the ERA wasn't successful, the discussion about equal rights for women produced a whole host of both court decisions that opened up equal rights for women, as well as legislation. So this is an interchange between the court, the Constitution, and the American public, and the cultural change that needs to happen. So basically the views of the people now become preeminent, and the views of five justices sitting on the Supreme Court are not, in terms of what this Constitution, what this democracy is all about.
There have been other bills in Congress that take a different approach, like the Sarbanes bill in the House that promotes public funding.
I think these are all important. I mean, I think there is long-term, ambitious, long-range organizing that has to go on to amend the Constitution. At the same time, we also ought to be pushing for everything that we can do to make the current situation better. And that absolutely includes the Sarbanes Governed by the People Small Donor Bill. It includes disclosed legislation. It includes administrative actions. There's a whole host of things that we can do to make the current situation better, and we should try to do that. We absolutely should try to do that. And we actually believe that sort of the backdrop of the framing how important this issue is by talking about a constitutional amendment helps lift and add an energy to those efforts as well. So this is full court press on every front that we can possibly act on.
Well, it's a long view because two-thirds in each House is far from where the vote would be if it were held now.
That's correct. But organizing and raising up this issue and raising this notion that we need representative government, which is absolutely at the core of Senator Sarbanes' Governed by the People Small Donor Bill, those two interchange. And so maybe in the short run we get a Governed by the People Act passed, right, as we're continuing to organize for the constitutional amendment. And that will make things much, much better if we got that passed.
That was Marge Baker of People for the American Way. Find links to groups engaged in the fight against unregulated money in politics by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.